And just always try to remember them, because it's a thing Leslie's been trying to talk to her about and everything, but sometimes that's a little difficult when it's your family. In a way, it kind of makes things a little more uncomfortable. I saw this quote yesterday when I was looking at Facebook, and it says, your problem isn't time you watch TV. Your problem isn't energy you play softball or basketball or hunt or fish or do whatever. Your problem isn't even money. You usually have two cars and a smartphone. It's not a very good excuse, right? Your problem is priorities. That's always the problem. We say we don't have time for the things of God, but in reality, we just don't put God as a priority in our lives. God is always second to something. You know, He can be second to your family. That's still wrong. We kind of get into that mode where we want to hold on to that one. Well, I gotta do this with my family. Gotta have my family time. I gotta do this. In reality, you're just putting off something else. And family's good, and you should do things with them, and you should help them, and you should, you know, spend time with them. But at the same time, if you're not spending time with God, that's probably going to hurt your family. That's probably where your family's going to fall apart. I was thinking about going back into my numerology study today, and last night I went to go study, and I was kind of focusing more on my sermon for this morning, and I kind of went down this little rabbit hole, I guess, if you want to say that, and felt like the Lord wanted me to do this for Sunday school instead. And I got to thinking maybe it was supposed to be my sermon for this morning, and He said, no, I want it to be Sunday school. And sometimes that's hard for preachers, because you get something in your mind you really want to do. And right now I'm juggling like 15 jobs, so it's really hard for me to hone in on something. I'm getting ready to quit my day job at Sign Master, and I'm trying to get all that situated for them, and then trying to do more work at the church at Victory and get that situated. And I've been doing youth group and different things like that, and trying to get stuff scheduled for this summer. And then, of course, trying to pastor and her finishing up my pastoral term here. So I'm trying to do all that. And you want to do a good job everywhere. I want to do a good job everywhere. It's not that I want to fail at any of it, but it is a lot. So sometimes you sit back and you're like, God, what do you want me to do now? And so this just kind of hit me last night. It kind of started yesterday afternoon. Leslie went to go see her sister, so I had the kids by myself, and that's always exciting. Amen. And we did our normal stuff. You know, you go to the store on Saturdays, because that's when we go grocery shopping, and, you know, we got to go look at 57,000, you know, Transformer toys at every store you go into, because that's Walker's new favorite thing. So we go look at the toys, and we go through all that process. And I was trying to, you know, I'd already cut grass earlier this week, so that was good. I had that out of my way. But there was a few things I wanted to do, and one was I wanted to clean the Jeep up. So I decided that was a great idea. I was going to clean the Jeep up. And, you know, vacuum it out, take all the stuff you don't need out of it, because you think you need 1,000 things in it when you really don't. Had to get all my turkey hen stuff out of there, amen, because that's coming to an end tomorrow. So I had to get all that stuff out. And just washed it and all that good stuff. And as I'm washing and cleaning it up, of course, I have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old who want to help. And that is a blessing. And I was going through there, and I'm, you know, you start washing a car, and I'm not a detailer, okay, by no means. So, like, you can go find imperfections in my washing job, I promise you. So I'm not a detailer, but I want to do a good job. Everybody, when you do something, you want to do a good job. You want it to look right. You want it to look nice and all that good stuff. So, you know, you start at the top, and you work your way down to the bottom and all that good stuff, and make sure your buckets are separated so you don't scratch the car and all that good junk. You go through all that process. So I'm sitting there and I'm washing the car, and of course Walker has to have a brush because Daddy's got one, and Elise has to have a brush because Walker has one, and You know that cycle. And I got down, I washed the top, and you know, it wasn't such a big deal. They're washing the side, you know, until I get to the side, and then they're washing the same side that I've already washed, and now I got to rinse it off again. And I was getting really agitated because I'm trying to do a good job, but every time I wash it, it's like you're just washing it some more. And then, you know, they drop it in the dirt, and then they take it and put it on the car, and you're sitting there going, you're going to scratch it. And you get agitated, right? And then I stopped and I thought, you know, I'm washing a 2014 Jeep Grand Cherokee that I have no problem running through a mud hole to take it deer hunting or turkey hunting. But I'm getting agitated because he dropped the stupid brush on the ground and picked it up and rubbed it across the car. But I ain't got no problem scratching up with a limb. It's your priorities, right? Kind of messed up, wasn't it? So I'm sitting there and I'm washing it. Kind of hit me. I was sitting there and I'm going, I wonder if that's how God looks at us sometimes. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation, so He's commanded us to do something, right? But you know, He could do it better Himself, right? He doesn't really need you. He said He could let the rocks do it. So He doesn't need you. He allows you to do it. He allows you to be able to minister to people and to help people. He allows you to be able to go share the gospel with somebody because He doesn't really need you to do it. He allows you to do it. And you sit back and you go, you sometimes you get this mindset of, He needs me. God needs me to get up here and preach these sermons, and God needs me to get up there and lead this music, and God needs me to get up here and sing these songs, or God needs me to go to this job so that I can witness that. God don't need you. God's God. I think God's got it under control. I think He's capable of handling everything that goes on in life. But yet sometimes we get into this place where we think we're important. And sometimes I think He kind of looks down and He's going, why are you washing the side of the car that I've already washed? Don't drop it on the ground and pick it back up and scrub the side of the car. Because you do that a lot, right? You mess up. That's kind of like dropping that rag in the dirt. I do think we have good intentions most of the time. It's just like Walker. Walker drops it in the dirt and he picks it back up really quick and he's doing everything he can do. He's just scrubbing for everything he's got. And you look at him and you go, he's messing up. But he's trying. You ever think about God looking at you like that? Boy, he messes up. But he is trying. He gives us a lot of grace, don't he? So I guess I was sitting there and I was going through thinking about all this stuff and thinking about all these different things, and this kind of hit me last night. And we talked about it a little bit in youth group last week, which, by the way, adults are a whole lot less intimidating than teenagers. Amen to that. I don't know what it is about teenagers. I guess it's because I don't really care if I hurt y'all's feelings as much. With them, it's like, you know, you don't want to completely shut them off. But they were intimidating Wednesday night. But I think sometimes we dumb them down a little too much. We act like they can't really do anything and they're not smart enough to keep up with you and all that. But in reality, they're pretty sharp. They know more than you want to give them credit for. They listen to a lot more than you think they do. So I was sitting there and I was thinking about this, and we talked a little bit about it on Wednesday night. And after going through that whole thing with Walker and Elise yesterday, I kind of came up with a question. And the question is, how do you be like Christ? Like, how do you see yourself as being a Christian? What is a Christian? What exactly does it mean to be one? And this is where the room opens up. What does it mean to be a Christian to you? Anybody got an answer? Christ-like. True. I like that one. Right. Anybody else got anything? Y'all the only two gonna answer. I don't have that. A Christian is a religious organism, though. That is what it is, a religious thing. It can be titled under anything. They put it under anybody that believes in a thing of God. So any type of religion that believes that God is the higher being, that can be under Catholicism or anything. So when you say Christianity, when you say that you are a Christian, you hear that statement that you made first a lot, to be Christ-like. Okay, what is it?
Abrahamic, monotheistic religion.
So that's what it means to be a Christian in the dictionary, right? You believe in God. To be Christ-like. To try to be as close to Him as absolutely possible. The problem with being a Christian is most of us, we know the terminologies. We even know what it means, and you've mentioned a lot of things that I've got in my notes that we'll go over. We know what it is, but yet we don't do a very good job of doing it. We just say it. Somebody walks up to you and says, "Hey, are you a Christian?" Well, yeah. Same thing with you, right? They walk up to you at work and say, "Hey, are you a Christian?" Yeah. Where do you fit in Christianity? As he read earlier, that's a big number that are Christians, right? And it gets real broad, too, because Catholicism don't add up with what we preach and teach in this church, now does it? But we still claim it. They do too. They do too. You sit there and think about being a Christian. To be a Christian, first of all, I would say you have to know Him, right? You got to have a personal relationship with Him so that you can know who He is. And the only way to have that is to accept the free gift of salvation that He gave you. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior to start to try to be like Christ. That is just the start. You see, everybody thinks, though, that is the end also. We live like that. You get saved and it's good now. Everything's fine now. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Hallelujah. And I would amen you too. But that's just the beginning of Christianity. That is just the very start of Christianity. But yes, you have to have a relationship with Him. You have to know who He is. So then you have to figure out, okay, what's the next step? Maybe you ought to have to be a little more humble. You see, Christianity's got this bad thing, especially people who actually study and try to know more about the Word of God. What do? We try to shove it in everybody's face, right? Us preachers are the worst. You go into hell. And sometimes that's necessary. But sometimes that's not necessary. Sometimes you got to keep driving the Mobile. Sometimes you got to go eat pizza and go see people on their birthdays. Sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes it's not just beating somebody up all the time, because that's what we do. And we beat them up whether they're Christians or whether they're not. If they don't know the Word of God, they never heard anything about the Word of God, don't care anything about the Word of God, then you've got to constantly just beat them up and say, hey, you're dying and going to hell, you filthy sinner. When in reality, you're one too. You're just a sinner saved by grace, right? That's all you are, but you're the same person. But then on the flip side, the ones who are saved, just like you, guess what you do? You beat them up too. Because they don't live like you do. Because they ain't got it all together like you think it should be done. Because they don't know as much Bible as you know. Yeah. And preachers are the world's worst. I ain't gonna lie to you. It's easy for me to get up here and argue Bible because, you see, I study it a lot. And that's not a prideful thing. It's because that's what I want to do. It's what God's called me to do. But I can get to the point where I'm like, you should be at this level. Not everybody's going to be at this level. I can think everybody ought to have my convictions and my standards. And guess what? That's just not always the case. You ever thought about letting God convict in people instead of you trying to convict them all the time? Maybe you ought to humble yourself and realize where you're at, because you ain't no better than the rest of them. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." He didn't have to give it all away. He chose to give it all away. For you. He could have came down and just said, you know what? I'm God. You can go with me or you can die and go to hell. I don't care which one you choose. And He could have done that. But instead, He gave everything away and said, guess what? I'll be in poverty for you. Hebrews 4 and verse 15, the Bible says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." You see, He went through the same exact stuff that every single one of us go through. you try to make him act like, you try to act like maybe God didn't actually see all the stuff that you see, or he didn't go deal with the things that you've dealt with because he was God. No, he was tempted just like we are. You remember him going up on that mountain with Satan, right? You've heard the story. It's Sunday school class. Y'all heard some stuff, okay? It's all right to know. Amen. That's good how that works out, ain't it? That means I ain't going to go back and tell the story. He goes up on the mountain. He's tempted, right? He's tempted with all the things of this world, and he's tempted with the things that he could have and the things that he wanted and the things that he could have made things life and life easier for him. He's just like you are. He was tempted. The devil said, "Here, look at this. Don't this look good?" He's just like you. He's a man just like you. You got to have some humility in your life. We're trying to be better than everybody else. You got to be kind. We got to be kind. We can seem kind, but sometimes we're not really. You sit back and you think about the things of God and how He was, and He healed a leper in Matthew 8, 1 through 4. He was caught dining with sinners in Luke 19. He preached to the Gentile dog in John chapter 4. He told her, "Whoever drinks of this water will never thirst again." That one's good right there, ain't it? He forgave those who hurt Him. Remember, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Are you kind? You say, "Well, yeah, I come in and I shake hands and we hug and I'm kind." Are you really kind? Because that's surface. Do you care about people? We all deal with stuff, right? Does it actually hurt your heart a little bit when you hear about somebody's grandson or somebody's sister or a brother in church? Or do you just say, "Eh." And then when you walk in church, it's, "I'm praying for you, sister. I love you, brother." All that garbage, right? There's a lot of truth to that. You know, that prayer list is really pointless if you don't take it home and actually use it. You know, they don't print it just because it looks pretty. I mean, they do a good job. They do a good job. They put you a nice pretty picture on there so you can see it. But if you turn that thing over every once in a while and just start going through those names and just start praying for them, it'd do a whole lot better. When's the last time you did that, though? Oh, me, right? And I'm not talking about just the ones we know about. We prayed for Brother Rick. Why? Because we knew he had a wreck. Well, what about all these other ones that have been on this list for a long time that we've forgotten about? They're still on it. They're still dealing with things. Are you kind to people? You care about them? Do you care about the people who don't like you? I know it's a shocker. There's a lot of people who don't like me. You can't believe it either, can you? I got some letters at home I could bring you. There's some people that don't like me. I'd still choose to be kind to them, though. Why? That's what God would do. That's what Jesus Christ did, hanging on a cross. Because he could have said, I am done with this. I don't have to go through all this pain and agony for a bunch of people that don't care nothing about me. But instead, he said, forgive them anyway. Are you kind? Here's a good one. Do you give thanks during the trials? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Everybody wants to know what the will of God is, right?
There you go.
It says it right there. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Not for everything, in everything. That means when you get in the situation, just thank Him for it anyway. When it all falls apart, just thank Him anyways. That's what He did, right? He was put in the situation of dying on a cross, but yet He's still sitting there going, I got to do this. I have to do this for them because it's the only way that they're going to have eternal life is if I go to this cruel Roman cross and die for them. Ain't no other way they get hope. Do you give thanks in the trial? And the last one, are you unwavering? Are you steadfast and unmovable? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You just go about His business anyway. That one right there really gets a lot of people. The other you might do all right in. You might have all the other ones kind of somewhat locked down, but that unwavering thing and that unmovable and that whole steadfast thing, that one gets a little sideways in a lot of people because, you see, they want to waver on what they believe is right constantly. You know, they used to believe this and they used to stand on this and they used to be for this and now it's kind of like, eh. Now, I get it. In church, we've made things a lot more... We've messed up a lot of stuff in church. Let's put it that way. I'm leaving in 2 months to say what I want to, right? Amen? We've majored on minors. You know. We've made things important that really weren't important. Yeah, we've done that in church a lot. There's been a lot of things that we put up there that we said, these are standards and these are... blah, 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 and really, honestly, they weren't even biblical. We just did them because they seemed good. You know, no contemporary music. Okay. I've sang contemporary songs here, and so I heard y'all say amen, so either that makes you a hypocrite, or, you know, I'm confused. You know, it's all fine and dandy till Crowder writes a song that sounds like Southern Gospel and it's fine. Oh, me, right? When Gold City recorded it, it was fine because it put it back into our little loop that we can hang on to. Power of the Cross was still written by the Gettys and they're still contemporary. I'm just saying. But we had to hang on to something because we had to be the old way, right? The old way is standing on the Word of God. That's what don't change. Not the music or whether you have pews or chairs. Who cares? If you like those things, that's fine. I'm a little more traditional than... I know I wear this coat and you sit back and go, you're not traditional. I'm more traditional than a lot of people give me credit for. I like things to be a little more traditional feeling. I'm going to be a music director at Victory. Guess what? Yeah, I'm going to change it up a little bit. But I'm pretty traditional. I have to get outside of my box to sit there and go, I'm going to implement this kind of song. Because I am pretty much, I like hymns. I like them to be done a certain way. I'm pretty structured like that. You know, I still wear a suit. I may wear the goofy looking coat, but I still wear a suit. Does it mean you have to? No. You don't. You ain't got to wear a tie. Trust me, I'm giving them things away just as fast as I can get rid of them. I hate a tie. Those are traditions of men. We've held on to those for years and years and years when they really didn't matter. When I say unwavering and steadfast, I'm talking about, do you stand for the doctrine? Do you stand for the Word of God? Do you actually stand for what matters when it comes to the things of God? Not the things that don't matter. You know, if it doesn't go against the book, guess what? It's just something you made up. And you can have those convictions. I don't care. But don't shove them down my throat. Don't shove them down everybody's throat in the church. They want to get in their car and listen to K-Love? By all means, listen to it. You want to get in your car and listen to XM Radio and Southern Gospel Music? Listen to it. I don't care. If you want to get to the highest church of Bob Jones music that you can find, by all means, I don't know how you do it, but listen to it. That's too much round tones for me. I can't handle that. But if you like it, go for it. But guess what? If it's a good song and it honors God, it don't matter what genre it comes out of. If you can understand it, that'd go back to that honoring God thing. It's got to fit somewhere in there. As long as it honors God, it's a good song. As long as it gives Him the glory, it's a good song. As long as it's doctrinally sound, it's a good song. Majoring on minors, right? Do you really see yourself as a Christian, or are you just kind of like, I hold the title? Because I think a lot of times we just hold the title. Brother Joey preached a sermon some months back, and it was titled Multicultural Church. I think that's what it's titled. And the way he was explaining it was, you know, we've got things that are important in church and we've got things that are not important in church. This generation over here said things had to be done this way and they couldn't be done any other way. So when you got to this generation, we disconnect, right? It doesn't mean everything that they did was wrong. But it doesn't mean everything that you want is wrong. You see, it has to kind of get across all of it. You have to hit everything. You have to kind of sit there and say, okay, now we're in this generation. That's why preachers step down, you know. That's the whole point. They can't relate anymore. They can't relate to what's going on in the world anymore. Why? Because they lived in a different generation. It doesn't mean that they're not important. It doesn't mean that the things that they thought were not important. But they're just not connected the same way that they were. I'm all for the old past when the old past, and you break that down and you actually start realizing what it's talking about. Are you trying to be like Christ, or are you just trying to hold your titles? Too busy shoving stuff down people's throat, right? We all do it to some extent. I got to be done. I want you to look at this over the next few weeks, because I'm not going to be here next week. By the way, you need to be in church next week, because Brother Barlow is going to be here. I think his name is Drew. I know it's Barlow. I know that. I've heard him preach. He's a good preacher. You need to be here. You need to see him preach, hear him preach. He got a bunch of youngins. Y'all enjoy that and all that good stuff. I mean, a bunch of them. But you need to come hear them. Maybe they'll sing for you. It won't be as good as mine, but I'm just playing. I think she plays the piano and all that good stuff, so they'll probably sing for you and all that. And if they don't, tell them to. Y'all, he's on y'all's turf right now, so get all you can get out of it for at least a little bit. Let him sing for you. They do a good job. Those kids do a good job. They sound good. But I want you to think about over this the next few weeks. Are you truly a Christian? And what does it really mean to be one? What does it mean to you to be a true Christian? Let's close in a word of prayer. Brother Scott, close us, please.